To God be the glory for the privilege to come together around the word of the Lord, and we say a heartfelt welcome to worship, welcome to this time of praise, of prayer, and the ministry of the word, and even the ministry of deliverance. For God is able to reach wherever you are. Never ever believe that we have to be physically connected in order for God to move. I was reminded just a little bit ago of how the Lord used the apostles in the early church, that when they were unable to reach the people, God gave to them to just tear off their aprons. And Paul was a maker of tents and had an apron that is generally the garment used to assemble and hold on to the tools for making the tents. But he tore from the apron and he pulled out his handkerchief, and because he had ministered life, had the ministry of life in himself, his touch, the anointing of God on his life, he sent those aprons and those handkerchiefs to people who were not physically with him, in order for their lives to be touched, in order for their lives to experience deliverance. And God wrought miracles. God wrought special miracles. And it is a powerful thing when I think about the fact that God is the kind of God that wants all of us to understand that when God has for you during this season, amen and amen. Well, we're going to get to the word of the Lord for today. Praise God. And I'm going to ask that you will direct your attention and turn in the word of the Lord. Praise God. I want to go to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. Praise God. Praise God. Luke chapter 21 in your Bibles, and let's go to verse 7. Luke chapter 21, verses 7. We're going to start there, and we're going to read a little bit more than usual for the opening passage. But as we read this, I want to remind you that God's word is true for all of us in this century, in this day, in this time. He's always true. His word is always true. Again, that's Luke chapter 21, and we're going to begin the reading at verse 7. Praise God. Well, you might hear my pages turning, and I pray that your pages are turning in your Bibles. And I won't hear it if you're looking at it on your phone or some computer or tablet device. But the Word of God is what we need in this season, like we have needed it in every season. To God be the glory. Well, let's look here. Luke chapter 21, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 7. And they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be, and what shall be, or what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? And he said, take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then he said unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines, and pestilence, and fearful sights, and great signs shall be from heaven. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you. delivering you up to the synagogue and into prison, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all of your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolks and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. But ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not a hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the living word of God. It is what we need. We pray in Jesus' name that the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened, that we will know and understand what it is you're saying to us. Make clear your purpose. Make clear your word. Make clear the mind of the Father, so that we will know how to go in and out in this generation and experience everything that the kingdom of God has in store for us. For we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Well, my subject for today is freedom from panic in pandemic times. Freedom from panic in pandemic times. We have probably been people who have been kind of surprised about hearing the word pandemic, specifically as it relates to life in the United States of America. But pandemics have been those seasons and those times of great catastrophe that has touched the world for many, many, many years. In fact, it has touched the world for centuries. There's almost no generation that has been untouched by a pandemic. When I was thinking and reading earlier this week, came across an article about the Spanish pandemic. They call it, I think, the Spanish flu that hit the United States in the early 1900s, 1918 and 1919. In fact, it was so devastating that Bishop Charles Mason, who is the founder of the Church of God in Christ, canceled the convocation because he wanted to make sure that there will be no gathering of saints because of this pandemic that was covering the nation. And there have been so many of these things. As I was just studying about major plagues and infections and things that have covered the earth over the years, almost every century since they've been recording some of these things, or just these centuries are inundated with people who've been touched. And many times the death toll have been somewhat low, and then sometimes the death toll has been high. We've had the experience of many, many pandemics across the years. The 21st century has certainly experienced pandemics. That Spanish flu, as I mentioned, in the late 1900s, or the early 1900s, that 19th century and 20th century, their estimates of 17 million to 100 million people whose lives were lost around the world because of that pandemic. If you go back even to the 19th century earlier, or to the 18th century, the 16th century, all the way back even to recordings of the 15th century, Japan experienced the death toll of 2 million people. And there were really, over the years, there has been many of these times in these seasons. And what the church must be clear about is that we are living in a broken world. When Adam sinned, he thrust the world out of the experience of the Garden of Eden into chaos, into chaos of living things, and things are running awry. But God is doing and allowing some of these things in order that men would know that he is God. There is nobody God but God. There's no one like God but God. And during these pandemics, there are criticisms that become really commonplace. The ones who should be prepared, they are unprepared. There is this inability to predict or anticipate the weaknesses of every generation and of those who are in these seats of authority. They don't have the ability to anticipate what's going on. It's the weakness of every generation. It doesn't matter what century you look at. There is that inability to predict or anticipate what is going to happen in the future. The reality is the ones who are charged with these responsibilities, they don't have a guide. But I think about men like Noah, who was one of the first, was recorded in Scripture, who faced what I can call a pandemic with that flood that hit the earth. The reality was Noah had a guide. Glory to God. And because he had a guide, he was able to many years. He was, I believe the record is that he was 120 years in building the ark. What kind of preparation is that? It's divine preparation. I think of Joseph, who interpreted the dream of Pharaoh in the years of plenty. And the years of drought, he interpreted that dream, and because there was a leading of the Lord, he was able to make decision that saved much people alive. Glory to God. And God brought him into a significant place, a place of authority, so that he could get this job done. The reality is that the ones who have been given this unachievable responsibility in our day can only use statistics and the limitations of science in order to anticipate. We just, and it's kind of like, you know, we just know based on history that it is not if it will happen, but when it will happen. But I am glad that the Holy Ghost is our comforter, and he is our strategist for pandemic preparations. Beyond any shadow of doubt, the Holy Ghost is able to guide those who are open to him into these various seasons. Even when we don't know the specifics, he can definitely get us into the preparation. I don't have to know everything that's going to happen, but if I follow the leading of the Holy Ghost, I'll be into preparation. We will be into preparation. That's what God, in fact, he describes the Comforter as this. He will show you things to come. The Holy Ghost will show you things to come. Paul picks it up like this when he describes the work of the Holy Ghost. He says, we know in part, we prophesy in part, but then that which is perfect or complete will come. So God, through the Spirit of God, has always wanted to make sure that days and seasons and times and issues don't slip up on his people where they are unaware. we may not have known as the body of Christ that we were going to enter this time of the season where we call it the coronavirus. But one thing is sure, the Holy Ghost did some readiness things for the church. And as I have gone back and just reviewed even some of the messages that the Lord gave to me to share with the body of Christ over the last few years, many of those messages were tied to preparation for the future, preparation for things, literally the plagues of things. And when Jesus began to talk to his disciples, and the passage of scripture that we read in Luke chapter 21, there was a parallel passage in, I believe it is, the book of St. Matthew, the 25th chapter, where they were asking, Lord, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of their coming and your coming and the end of the world? And my message today is to talk about how God provides freedom from panic. A person who is prepared does not have a reason or a need for panic. And when the disciples were asking him, what will be these signs of the things that come to pass? I'm looking in verse 7. They said, Master, when shall these things be, and what signs will there be when these things come to pass? And I like to describe it again as the plague of things. And we're part of a generation that things happen. But here is what he's given to us. For them, he was giving to them, and the children of Israel, the people, the Jews of the day of Christ, he was giving them some specifics. But when we look at the Word of God, it's intended to provide for us the patterns and the instructions in righteousness so that in our generation, we will be, as it were, like the sons of Issachar, that we knew the times and knew what we ought to do. Well, let's look at these pandemics that he described, these plagues of things. Look in verse 8. I want to describe this as the pandemics of religion. Now, if there ever was a time that we could see that there has been a pandemic of religions, there's so much spiritual confusion, there's so much misdirection, there's so much ill direction. And Jesus describes it like this. He said, take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name saying, I am, and in italics, look, it says Christ. But most of us who understand scripture, we understand that we can lift those italicized words out and get the meaning without the inserts of the translators. They put in Christ, but when we look at this and see this in this way that I'm trying to describe without the word Christ there, and you can put Christ there, it doesn't do injury. But notice he's saying that they come in my name saying, I am. Now, Christ is a general term. It's for us. It relates to a specific person who died on the cross for our sin, the Lord Jesus, who is the Christ, the Messiah. He's saying that many will come in my name saying, I am the Messiah, and the time draweth near. Go ye not after them. So he's reminding us that there will be so many people arising saying, I am the source of truth. I am the source of reality. I am the source of religion and the supernatural. I am the way to God. And he's saying there will be so much deception. Now, when you look at these things, you can't just look in this country, but you can look inside the country in which we live, and you'll see that we have a pandemic of religions. There is so much confusion. And when you look around the world Oh, it's even worse because there are religions and religions and religions, but there is neither salvation in any other. There is no salvation, no deliverance, but in Jesus. He is the way, the only way. He is the truth. He is the only truth, and he is the life. And so he's reminding us that we must not panic, and we can be free from panic when we see the rise of all of these distortions of faith and distortion of conviction. He's letting us know and telling these disciples there is going to be pandemics of religions. Well, let's look at the next verse. This verse, I describe it as pandemics of violent conflicts. Pandemics of violent conflicts. He says, ye shall hear of wars and commotions, but be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. In the word of God, in the book of Matthew, he says, and the end is not yet. But ye shall hear of wars and commotions, or rumors of war. But he's reminding them, don't be terrified by these things. They must come to pass. But the end, this is not marking the end, but these are marks within the generations of pandemics. And when we think about the United States as a particular country in the full worldwide scheme, and you've heard the president talking about how many countries have been touched by this coronavirus, 150 plus nations, 150 plus countries. There are many more worldwide. So we are just one out of many. We may be considered the superpower of the world, but we're still just one out of many. In fact, you look at some of the nations like China, their numbers way exceed us. But just with our country, not only do we hear of wars, but in my own lifetime, I have seen so many wars that our country has been in. I grew up during the Vietnam War era, and many of us experienced and saw the results of things like Iraq and issues like Iran and so many other countries, and somehow we got into conflicts there. And God is just reminding us that when you see the presence of wars and soldiers coming back, and I do not mean this in any kind of way disrespectful, but coming back with the casualties of war, coming back in coffins and body bags. Know this, that he's saying to us, don't be terrified. Don't be terrified. He's warning us that these things will come to pass. There will be pandemics of violent conflicts all around the world. There are conflicts. There's one fighting against this one, and Russia against that one, and this country and is trying to take over this land, and someone is fighting back. It's not just what's going on in Jerusalem, that little hot spot, in Israel, that hot spot. No, around the world, there are violent conflicts. And sometimes those conflicts are within the borders of these countries. But God is reminding us that his children do not have to be terrified by these things, because they will just come to pass. Well, let's look a little further in the next verse. And you'll see here, he says that I call this pandemics of power, access, and control. Pandemics of power, access, and control. Verse 10 says, then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. Power, access, and control. It's pandemic when you begin to think about the consequences. Even in our nation, we have gotten into these wars of tariff, Well, they are not wars of violent conflict, but God knows they are wars. They are pandemics of power, of access, of control, control of economics, control of money flow, control of the attention of power. Who will have this? And you see nations rising up against other nations, and kingdom rising up against other kingdoms, where you see things like nations getting involved to throw and to unsettle elections and other things that should have validity of electing officials. Jesus says that these pandemics will come. They will rise up. Nations against nations, kingdoms against kingdom. Let me keep going. Verse 11, I call this the pandemics of events in the earth beyond human control. Let me say that again. Pandemics of events in the earth beyond human control. Notice what he says. He says there shall be great earthquakes. There's not a single earthquake that is within any human being's control. There will be great earthquakes, and they'll be in diverse places. And when we think about the reports that we've heard just over the last 10 years, earthquakes in diverse places. I was shocked to hear that there was an earthquake in Madison County, Mississippi. There's been earthquakes in California for years from various times at various seasons. But in Madison, Mississippi, we are a part of a generation that these men and women and scientists are studying, and they can see things as they are, they can see the unsettledness, but they are unable to predict when these things will come to pass. But to God be the glory, God gives to the church the Holy Ghost so that the saints of God can be aware and be prepared. We may not know exactly when, the day or the hour, but we can know that these things will come up on the earth, pandemics of events in the earth beyond human control. There are famines where it just doesn't rain, famine where insects and disease get into the crops, and there are pestilence like what we're experiencing now in this country. This coronavirus is a pestilence. They not only cannot control it, they can't even identify where it is and when it is and say exactly what the symptoms are. And we thank God that they're doing the absolute best that they can, but there's so much beyond their reach. And it is a part of what God is saying to us, that this is a part of what's going to come in the earth. He's telling the disciples this. This was long before the 1900s that he told them this. This was long before this 21st century that we're in. It was long before the United States was ever formed as a country. It was long before any of those things that we hear historically. God says through the Lord Jesus Christ that earthquakes will come, famine will come, a pestilence will come, fearful sights will come, great signs in the heavens will come. All of these things, he says, will come, and they will reap pandemonium throughout the earth, because the human beings will have no control over them. Oh, it's just another reminder that we need God. Hallelujah. These are just reminders that we need the Lord. Let me go a little further here. Verse 12. This is a I describe this verse as the pandemics of personal well-being. Pandemics of personal well-being. Notice what he says here. He says, before all these, they shall lay hands on you. They. Oh my God. That just opens the list up so wide. They shall lay hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prison, and you'll be brought before kings and rulers. And notice he says, for my name's sake. He's letting them know that you're going to experience a pandemic of personal well-being because of your spiritual commitment. Because of your spiritual commitment. He's letting them know. And that's another reminder to us. Just because we are on the Lord's side doesn't mean that we will not experience things that will come against us as believers. Look at the next verse. Let me hurry on. This one I describe as pandemics of relational structures. And he says, and ye shall be betrayed both by parents, relation, brethren, relation, kinfolks, relations, friends, relations. And some of you, he says, they shall cause to be put to death. Now, you know, all of us think of this in your mind. If you don't have anybody to stand with you, your kinfolks gonna stand with you, your cousin, your aunties, and the folks that you're blood with. But he is letting us know here that we will experience, that generations will experience the pandemics of relational structures. Oh, we see it even in our day, how relationships are not as dependable as they were in some of the previous generations. But Jesus let us know. He says, you can put this down in your book. You can write this down, mark this down, that there will be pandemics of relational structure. And then finally, hallelujah, verse 17, he says, there will be a pandemic. There will be pandemics of spiritual commitment. He says, you will be hated of all men for my sake. Because you've committed to God, he's saying, you'll be hated. What a pandemic. But, this is why we can have freedom. He's saying, don't panic. Glory to God. I want you to just point at yourself and say, don't panic. Oh, with all of this stuff that we've already talked about pandemic time, tell yourself, I don't have to panic, because he is letting us know, verse 13, look at that. He says, out of pandemics will rise a testimony. What's coming out of this? I shall have a testimony. Whatever touches me, whatever touches my life, whatever touches my family, a testimony is coming out of that. Whatever the enemy does and means for evil, God will bring good out of it. A testimony is come out of that. He says it'll turn to you for a testimony. Oh, I want you to just let that sink down in your spirit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. No weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. Why? It shall turn for a testimony. And out of pandemic, not only will arise a testimony, but out of the pandemic will arise a calmness and a rest in the Lord. A calmness and a rest in the Lord. Look at verse 14. He says, settle it in your heart. Settle it in your heart. And don't even meditate on it. How you're going to respond. Glory to God. Because when the pandemics come, glory to God. Know this, God's got you. Glory to God. God's got you. Whether you are part of a pandemic, glory to God, of religion, you are affected by pandemics of violence and conflict, a pandemic of power and access and control, a pandemic of events in the earth beyond human control, pandemics of personal well-being, pandemics of relational structures, pandemics of spiritual commitment, he's saying, out of the pandemic will arise a calmness and a rest in the Lord. Settle it in your heart. Hallelujah. And don't even meditate on it, because God he has a response for you. He has an answer for you. He has what we say around here. He has love. He has hope. Come on, say it with me. He has direction. Verse 15. He says here, I want you to understand that out of the pandemic will arise a voice and a plan. Out of the pandemic will arise a voice and a plan. Oh, he says in verse 15, "But I will give you a mouth and wisdom." Oh, I know somebody saying, "Lord, I can handle the pandemic if I just had some money." But I hear the Lord saying, "I'll give you a mouth and I'll give you wisdom." Glory to God. Because out of the abundance of your heart, as your mouth is able to continue to confess and affirm who you are and whose you are in the Lord, God will give you the wisdom. The man of God says, "As we have believed, therefore we speak." We declare it. We say it. He says, "I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all of your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist." I know we are part of a time where people say, "Well, you might as well just let it go." No, 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 no. Hallelujah. If I need more time, glory to God, I serve a God that says that when I'm in the kingdom, I know the facts. The facts are that the sun will move in its cycle. But glory to God, if the purpose of God can be undone by the movement of the sun, glory to God, there's a kingdom in us. And Joshua had no knowledge of the New Testament. Hallelujah. But he had an Old Testament covenant with God in such a way that Joshua said, "Sun, stand still." And the sun stood still for 24 hours. Glory to God. God gave a mouth and wisdom. And even now, he gives a mouth and wisdom. That's why I say to you, child of God, that mountain that comes in your life, don't you be afraid to speak to that mountain. Don't you be intimidated by that mountain. I don't care how pandemic it is, arise and let your voice be heard. Let your voice be heard. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And the Bible says the adversaries of your life and our lives will not be able to gainsay nor resist. Let me give you the next thing. Out of the pandemics will arise protection. Look at this verse 18. He says, "For there shall not an hair of your head perish." Not one hair of your head perish. Now, that's a God of details. Now, when I think of my hair and the hair on my head, every time I comb my hair, oh, I don't know where all of the hairs have gone, and it looks like I lose one here and there. But God says, I have not only counted the hairs on your head, God says, "I have numbered the hairs on your head." Hair number one, hair number two, hair number three. God is saying, "I am a God of details of your life." And glory to God. And you say, "Well, my head's kind of bald." Well, I'm here to tell you that God even sees the microscopic stuff. Glory to God. And he's reminding us, out of pandemics will arise protection. He is our God, and he is our protector. And then finally, look at this next verse. He says, "In your patience possess ye your souls." Out of the pandemic will arise freedom from panic. Out of the pandemic will arise freedom from panic. In your patience possess ye your souls. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. By your endurance, you will win in life. By your perseverance, you will possess your soul. By standing firm, that's what patience is. By standing firm, you will win your soul. By endurance, you will protect your lives. By your endurance, you will save your lives. By your patience, you will possess your souls. By your endurance, you will gain your souls. Stand firm and you will save yourself. Hallelujah. By your patient endurance, you will purchase your lives. And I want to tell you that the God that we serve is reminding us that in our patience we possess our souls. When I think of patience, I think of two things here, and then I'm closing with this. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Patience has to do with temper, being tempered. And patience also means that I am self-restrained. It's tempered and self-restrained. Glory to God. And when he reminds us of being tempered, he's saying that I want you with patience. With this patience, you are not easily succumbing to suffering. Just because you're going through, you're not caving. Just because you're going through, you're not being broken. Glory to God. And then he's also saying you are self-restrained. This is patience at work. In other words, you're not hasty to retaliate. Somebody did something against you, wrath and revenge. I have to push my hand on the pause button. That's patience at work. But when it comes down to cowardice and becoming despondent, glory to God, my temperament, it is opposed to me falling apart. Oh, I like to say this, that patience and endurance is so tied together. I'm reminded of the windshield that we ride around with in our cars, and how God wants to remind us that I want my children to, in patience, possess their soul, save their lives. The patience that you have is like being tempered glass. Tempered glass. Tempered doesn't mean I can't be broken. Tempered means I'm just not easily broken. Tempered means I'm built to stand. And when you think about tempered glass that is difficult to break. It can be broken, but it is difficult to break. Tempered glass can be broken without injuring someone else. Tempered glass can be built to contain its broken place. Tempered glass is glass that is built to limit the spread of the break. And God is just saying, when you have temper, when you have patience, you are like tempered glass. Glory to God. It's a part of the fruit of the Spirit in us. Oh, make you laugh right in the devil's face. Glory to God. He's saying you're like tempered glass. You can take a hit, but you won't hurt somebody in the process. Oh, God, help us with that kind of temperance. And sometimes we say, well, I'm just going through. Forgive me for lashing out. But I'm here to tell you that when patience is possessing your soul, glory to God, you'll take a hit. But you'll be able to still be calm, and you'll still be able to be gentle. You'll still be able to do all the things. In other words, I won't hurt you in the process. Now, when I think of us being like a windshield, we are like a windshield. My patience is like a windshield for my life. In patience, I am able to see God perfecting the work that is in me, the work that he's begun in me. And when patience is having his perfect work, it's like cleaning the windshield. Glory to God, because God wants to make us as a people of endurance. Think about how you don't even pay much attention to the fact that when you get in a car, it's the windshield that's protecting you from so much. Things coming at you, things dropping on the road. But thanks be unto God, there's tempered glass there. And sometimes the rocks up and down and pop and hit the glass, and you might even move. But thank God, the glass catches it. And I'm here to tell you that God put patience in you so your patience can catch it. Can you take a hit? Yeah, baby. When my patience catches it, God makes us instruments of protection, and God grants us grace to operate under pressure like the windshield does. And the windshield, it operates under pressure. The wind is blowing. I mean, the wind is blowing. Even when you stick your head out the door and you feel the pressure of the wind, glory to God. Here is the windshield. It's taking all of that all the time. And you need to say, Lord, build me up on the inside. Hallelujah. So that patience will do its perfect work in me, because that's my source of being free from panic. I'm not just, patience is more than about just waiting. Patience is about endurance. It is about having the wherewithal that I'm not running as a coward, I'm not despondent, and then I'm certainly not filled with wrath and revenge. I'm not trying to get back at somebody. No, that's God saying to you, I'm putting it in you so you'll be built to stand. Built to stand, not easily broken. I might fall apart, but not today. Hallelujah. I might cry, but not now. Glory to God. I need to be clear. We need to be clear. And God is saying, I will give you freedom from panic in these pandemic times. Hallelujah. 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 Now, I want to just pause with you because I want to pray for you, because I know that some of you are dealing with the coronavirus, but the God that you serve, the God that we serve, and if it's not you, it's someone maybe connected with you, or you have been experiencing some questions in your mind about whether this thing will affect me, I'm here to say that God is saying, don't panic. Don't panic. Don't panic. Let patience, in your patience possess ye your souls. Let your ability to endure, let the endurance that the Holy Ghost puts in you, he puts in you. It's a part of the fruit of the Spirit. Patience, endurance, glory to God. Not easily succumbing to suffering. Hallelujah. Tempered. Tempered. Open your mouth and just say it. Declare it. Tempered. Tempered. It's in me. The Holy Ghost has put that in me. Tempered. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. I want you to bring your needs to the altar. Bring your needs to the Lord. Bring your issues before the Lord. Whether that's an issue in your family, in your body, in your life, all of these things where we see pandemics that have crossed this world. Maybe you're dealing with the fact that you're in a violent situation. Your marriage is filled with violence. But I'm here to say, glory to God, that the God that you serve is saying, don't panic. Don't panic. Don't panic. I'll give you direction. I'll give you what you need. I will show you the way to go. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because you don't have to learn to live with anything the devil's dishing out. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, the name above every name. Hallelujah. That at the name of the Lord Jesus, every knee should bow. Every knee should bow. Everything bows. Everything bows. The plagues of things bow. Hallelujah. At the name of Jesus, every knee bow. Every tongue confess that he's Lord to the glory of God. Now, Father, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus for healing. We pray for deliverance. We pray for salvation. Yes, yes, yes. Every unbeliever, every sinner, every backslider, every unsaved church member, right now we pray for salvation. We pray for spiritual restoration back into right fellowship with you in the name of the Lord Jesus. I call every sinner back to God. I call every backslider back to God right now in the matchless name of Jesus. And I pray, my Father, for that your healing, we pray that your healing virtue, your healing power began to touch your sons and daughters in the name of Jesus. The one that is sick among us, you said, let them call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over them. Pray over them. The elders are gathered on this call. Reshabosha. Hallelujah. The elders, the mature saints are gathered on this call. And right now we pray for one another, that we may be healed. We pray for our sisters that we may be healed. We pray for our brothers that we all may be healed. We pray for one another that we may be healed in the name of Jesus. And now by the authority of the name of the Lord Jesus, glory to God, I command sickness and disease away from your body and away from your life. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, I command it to go. We command it to go. We chase 1,000 in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, even as you cursed the fig tree, hallelujah, and you said, no man eat of you hereafter, you cut it off without cutting it down. You cut off his life source. And in the name of the Lord Jesus, we speak to this virus and we declare in the name of the Lord Jesus that you lose your attachment to life. In Jesus' name, concerning the body, concerning the lungs, in Jesus' name, Lord, let it be expelled. Let it be expelled as dead viruses to the glory of our God. Hallelujah. And we believe to see it done. We expect you to move. We expect things to change. And we expect your direction for our lives. Well, we pray in Jesus' mighty name. And we thank you, Lord. And amen, and amen, and amen. Right where you sit, open your mouth and praise God and thank him for your deliverance. Thank him for your victory. Thank him for your help. Thank him for all the open doors. Thank him for the ways that he's made. Thank him for the keeping of your life and your family during this season. Glory to God. It shall be well with you. I hear the Holy Ghost saying that. It shall be well with you. It shall be well with you. It shall be well with you in Jesus' matchless name. And we thank God. And we bless God. And we praise God. And amen. And amen. And amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, I tell you, I am excited about Jesus. I'm excited about what he's doing. I'm excited about this open door, glory to God, and the privilege to just speak life into your life through the word of God in Jesus' name.